Good morning. Continue praying for Pastor and Donna as they're traveling. They drove about halfway or a little farther last night, supposedly, and then finished traveling today to North Carolina for a little while to see family. So they needed some time away, too, so it was nice. But unfortunately, with them leaving, the elders and the deacon gets to fill in the pulpit. I'm sorry for you guys, but... he'll be back soon, hopefully be back soon, because I'm not doing this for the rest of my life. As we were singing, I was thinking, for all the prayer warriors, please be praying for law enforcement. We have many, many, many officers are ready to quit. We just had two in Lena that quit. So I'm part-time, but my part-time the last 2 weeks have been 75 hours. Trying to fill in for the extra stuff, and they're trying to pass through legislation right now through the House of Representatives in the U.S. that if they deem necessary that you did something that wasn't required of you to do, the people can now sue you. And so if that passes through, there's going to be multitude of officers just saying, that's it, we're done. It's bad enough right now. I feel like I'm walking around with a target on my back. So please be in prayer for all law enforcement, but especially me, please. Not to be selfish, but it's getting scary out there. So I knew this 2 or 3 weeks ago that I was going to fill the pulpit today, and in doing so, I've been praying, Lord, show me what you want me to speak on. It wasn't until last Sunday morning, sitting back there in the service, that God put upon my heart is, with all that's going on in our world and society, with the rioters and all the stuff going crazy, we need to get back to the basics. The basics, and, you know, and he gave me the greatest example, baseball. Or football. If you're not able to catch a ball or throw a ball or hit, you know, like you're supposed to, what does your coaches do? They send you back to the basics. The basics is our foundation for everything that we do. And so by praying that, the basics to me is faith. It's something that is so simple, but it's so hard at the same time. Very important thing. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have the faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. For those who haven't never seen a mustard seed, it's very, very, very tiny. And that's all the faith that we need to do what God wants us to do. So we need to think about that and continue on with that. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is an important word in the Bible. Faith is where the promises and work of God are made real and for his redeemed. The word faith is small, but the outcome of faith is very big. It is mentioned several times in the Bible. Here are a few. Ephesians 2:8-9. We are saved by faith. Romans 1:17. We live by faith. Romans 4:13. We receive righteousness by faith. Romans 5:1. We are justified in Christ by faith. Romans 5:2. We have access to God's grace by faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24, we stand firm in our belief by faith. Galatians 3:14, we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit by faith. 1 Timothy 1:4, we do God's work by faith. In Galatians 5:5, we wait for the return of Christ by faith. And the way things are going in these days, I don't think it's far away. I really don't. I know the Bible tells us it's going to be bad. And every day and every week, it just seems to get worse and worse. So be prepared. Indeed, faith is very important. It is a vital tool to the Christian. What is faith? According to Webster's Dictionary, faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Though Webster's Dictionary says we don't need evidence to have faith as Christians, we do have evidence of our faith. We have the Bible, 66 books, 40 authors prompted by God, written in many languages over thousands of years, prophecy and moral and spiritual truth. We have the resurrection of Jesus, confidence in his words, and evidence of God's truth in our lives. The nearest definition we have in the Bible of what faith is found right here in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, being sure of what we hope for, and certain for what we do not see. An important point, though, is the faith is only as good as the object which it is placed. All the faith in the world, if someone false, will not help you. But how does faith affect your lives? You get into a car and you drive on faith. You don't know what's going to happen if you make it to your destination alive or not, but we go. You have faith that the food you buy that is grown by strangers is not harmful, so you eat it. You have faith that doctors, and you see that they are competent, so you put yourself in their hands. And remember, they call it a practice for a reason. If you did not have faith, if you did not trust others, you wouldn't be able to drive, eat, or even get help in times of sickness. Your life would be very difficult. A look into Hebrews 11:4 shows how faith affected the people of God. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. We do not know many details about Abel's faith. We do not know how just and how much he was revealed to him. But we do know that his faith caused him to worship God. He picked the best of the flock to sacrifice to God. And Abel bought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat portions and of the Lord he regarded for Abel and his offering. He brought it to the place of sacrifice. It was natural for Abel's faith in God to manifest itself, a blood sacrifice, a sacrifice that pointed to the Messiah. It was natural for Abel to worship. There is something wrong with a Christian who does not worship. Faith looks for the opportunity to continue to worship. Faith also made Enoch walk with God. By faith, he was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commanded as one who pleased God, Hebrews 11:5. In Genesis, it says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. He walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Genesis 5:22-24. Your walk will change if you continue to trust in God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Enoch pleased God. Is God pleased with you, with me, with all of us? Is God pleased with the places you choose to go for your recreation? Is God pleased with the books you read, with what you watch on TV? Is God pleased with the words you use, the conversations you have? Is God pleased with the plans you've made for your future? Enoch's walk in faith delivered him from death. Your walk of faith has already delivered you from death, the death called damnation. Your faith is in Jesus. Therefore, there's no death to come to you. And then there's Noah. We have in Genesis 6 the tragic story of the deadline of humanity to the sin. But God's grace triumphs. God saves Noah. The Noah in Noah, his faith manifested itself in real works. James 2:26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Noah built an ark because he believed what God told him. Every swing of the axe said faith. Every felled tree said faith. Every swing of the hammer said faith. This poor guy was ridiculed by his neighbors and probably his own family for following through what God told him to do. And God told him, so he was going to do it. Faith will make you work today. Faith is not something from long ago for trusting in Jesus for salvation and not trusting him for anything else. It means you trust him for everything, even in the difficult times. It means that every day you continue to trust him and that you continue to manifest the fruit of your faith. Caring, sharing, witnessing, forgiving, and helping. In these things, you please God. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith connects you to God. It is your admission that you are dependent upon him, that your hope is in him. It pleases him because it is he you are trusting in, no one else and nothing else. There's so much more that could be said about this chapter. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. And so on and so on. By faith, we understand the universe was formed. People offered sacrifices. Humanity was saved. People left their lands and moved. Blessings were given. People were freed. Death was escaped. And walls fell. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, and many of the other prophets. Faith is vitally important in our life as a Christian. It is by faith that you are saved and justified, cleansed, and look forward to the return of Jesus. Faith is where you please God, admit your dependence upon him, and continually seek and reply upon him in his grace. I would like to close by asking a few questions. Has faith changed your life? What are faith evidences in your life? And is faith growing in your life? Here are a few examples of faith. Hebrews 11:1-40. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended to do. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, but God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For he who has been taken, he was commended as one of who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built the ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him and had the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was way past his age of prime, and Sarah herself was barren, and he was past and she was past her childbearing age, was enabled to become a father because he was considered him faithful who had made a promise. And so on, from this one man, he has a good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, countless as the sand on the seashore. And these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country for their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received that promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did not receive Isaac back from the dead. But by faith, Isaac was blessed and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when the end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents told him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the other people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of God as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around there for 7 days. By faith, prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. There are so many more, but we have only had time to tell about Gideon. Don't have time to tell about Gideon, Samson, David, and Samuel, and many other prophets. So through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and then escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. People were stoned when they saw, and they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in the caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together we would be made perfect. What does your faith look like today? Is it where it should be? The one and only true God, who we should have faith in, is just waiting for us to say, "Lord, here I am, use me." I put my faith in you. Like I said, you know, faith with me is such a simple thing and hard at the same time. We need to get back to our basics as Christians. Do what we're supposed to do. Do what God is commanding us to do. Sometimes it's too easy to get caught up in the whole worldly situation and become followers and not stand on our own two feet and look to what we're supposed to do. So I guess my prayer for you guys would be look at where you are today, look at the faith that you have, and adjust accordingly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for, again, all that you do, for your love that you have for us. For each one here, Lord, today, I do thank you for them. I thank you for their willingness to come and be with us and share. Again, Lord, I just thank you for all that you do for this church, watching, over, guiding, directing. And Father, again, I just pray that you watch over Dennis and Donna while they're traveling and while the time there, and bring them back to us safely. And I know Karen's going to be leaving here soon, traveling and taking a friend to another state. Just give her the travel mercies, Lord, that she needs, her and the girls. Again, Father, we thank you. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise that only you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.